What's going on, peeps? What's happening? It's your boy, Big Q. Once again, I'm bringing you guys what they call it, the Sunday's Best Podcast, presented by Teen Boy TV. This is going to be Sunday's Best episode number 8 for NFL Week 12. Tonight, I've been blessed tonight. Tonight, the day before Thanksgiving, and by the way, happy Thanksgiving. I got a special guest with us tonight on Sunday's Best for the second time, making his second time around. It's our boy Sage's voice, Glass. What's going on, Glass?
What up, Big Q? What up, fam? Everybody out there in social media, we appreciate you. Go ahead and join this show. Everybody that listen to the podcast. It's going to be a collabo with the Sunday's Best and with the Sage's Sports Podcast. So we appreciate you listening to it.
Absolutely. We'll give a shout out to the homie, the Raven Shogun JB. He out there, you know, look, he's a first time dad, Glad. He's a first time dad. It's his first holiday season. He going a little nuts right now. So because of JB being the trying to be super dad right now, we weren't able to give our fans the live show, TV, Team Boy TV Live. So, you know, if you got a message for JB, go ahead and give it to him.
All right, man. See, JB, let me tell you right now, we gonna make this quick. I'm kind of mad at you and your team. This ain't personally with you. It's with your team.
Right.
Because, like I said, off air with Big Q, I took the day off Thanksgiving. I usually work Thanksgiving day, Thanksgiving night. So I took it off, spent time with the family, and I was going to be able to watch one of the games of the week.
Mm.
And your team going to catch COVID-19, and they moved it up to Sunday. So I have nothing to watch on Thanksgiving.
Wow.
I definitely don't want to watch Texans as Lions, and I definitely don't want to watch Washington football team and the Cowboys. So I blame you since you physically a component of your team.
It's
you, man.
You know what? Speaking of which, and it seemed like this was like the third time on Sunday's Best we done kicked the show off with COVID-19 talk. But that's where we're going to start. We'll start with that particular story. The Baltimore Ravens game moved against the Pittsburgh. The Baltimore Ravens game against the Pittsburgh Steelers moved as team discipline staffer. You know what I'm saying? So look, before we dive into it and react, yeah, we're going to react to this. But let's listen to Ryan Clark real quick.
Ravens and Steelers, which was set to be tomorrow night, the nightcap, the 8:20 game, Thursday Night Football, has now been moved to Sunday because of multiple positive COVID tests on the Ravens. We had mentioned this week alone, they've got 5 players who tested positive, 4 staff members. RC, just a few minutes ago, we talked to you about what would need to happen should this game happen tomorrow. Now that we know it's not, what is your thoughts on having to postpone this game to Sunday?
Well, I mean, it's the right thing to do if it's for the health and for the safety of these players, and not only the players on the Ravens football team, but also the Pittsburgh Steelers. Listen, when you get into contact tracing and you get into incubation periods, these are still some things that we don't understand or we don't have a total grasp on. And so if the NFL isn't 100% sure that they can play this game or that they can put this game on and all of these players be protected as much as possible or as safe as possible, then they shouldn't play. And I'd rather them err on the side of caution. And that seems like that's what they're doing in this case. And it's the right decision. It's never going to be a wrong decision to wait and make sure you have all the information that all players can be healthy.
Okay, so look, this COVID thing has been, it's been a hot button topic for this season. Glass, I remember, we had a conversation early in the season about this very thing. Me and you talked about this, and you was posing the suggestion that the season might not make it all the way to its end. I was on the side of the NFL with all the different protocols. I talked about it on Sunday's Best last week, where the NFL enacted the extreme measures protocols, or whatever the case may be, and that kind of thing. So, right off the bat, man, look, they're moving games around, and listen, before we even get into the meat and potatoes of the whole thing, let me read everybody this tweet from Juju Smith-Schuster. This is what he said. He tweeted this out the other day. He said, first the NFL takes away our bye week because another team can't get their COVID situation together. Now they take away our Thanksgiving primetime game for the same reason. Shaking my head. That's what Juju said. So just for the second time, the Steelers got punished for somebody else's reckless COVID-19 situation, Glass.
I have to agree with Juju, and I'm going to have to agree with Ryan Clark in a certain aspect, because why is this? Number one, it was a handful of teams. And we got how many teams? We got 30 teams?
32
teams. And we got the Tennessee Titans messing up, the Ravens messing up. I think there might have been four or five teams messing up.
Raiders, you know, 49ers, Green Bay Packers, and Atlanta Falcons had their situation. The Jags had a situation. And, right. Yeah, so I don't think that was all of them, yeah.
So my thing is, it didn't, you know, at the start of the season, the coaches was getting fined for not wearing their mask the right way. And it, I'm going to put it out there right now. I don't know if I'm getting anybody in trouble, but I was watching the Green Bay Packers game the other day. And coach had it over his mouth, not over his nose. So he need to get fined, whatever, a couple of thousand he need to. But this is a pandemic, and I told you at the beginning of the season, I don't know if we're going to finish, and we only in week 12.
Yeah.
I don't know if we still going to finish, man. I know you said the whole season plus the playoffs.
I know, right?
We'll see how it's going to work out. It's just, my thing is, there's too many moving pieces for people to mess up. And once one person messes up, it could pass. It's contagious. It could pass on to the next person. Now, I heard you say they disciplining the staffer. Mm-hmm. All it takes is one person.
Yep.
You know, and this is a full contact sport. So, with Ryan Clark, err on the side of caution.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to – your team is 10-0. Well, Pittsburgh Steelers are 10-0. You don't want your team
right
to catch COVID and mess up that little streak going.
And they're getting punished for it. You know what I mean? And it's rough, you know?
I have the same sentiments as Juju.
Yeah.
We missed the bye week, and we're missing the primetime Thanksgiving game. Mm-hmm. I'm sick right now talking about it. Yeah. So it is what it is.
So this guy goes down. So the decision came after the COVID-19 outbreak among the Ravens worsened and it prompted an angry response from Steelers players. Baltimore added three more players, offensive lineman Patrick McCurry and Matt Skura, and defensive ends Calais Campbell, to the reserve COVID-19 list Wednesday. The Ravens have now seven players who tested positive or have been identified as close contacts, a group that has totaled 2,127 snaps this season. The Ravens issued a statement later Wednesday saying the unnamed staff member has been disciplined for quote unquote conduct surrounding the recent COVID-19 case that have affected players and staff at the Ravens. The team did not provide additional details. The NFL decided to postpone the game because it wants to use the rest of the week to conduct more testing and contact tracing. So this is where we stand. You know, the Thanksgiving day, That game actually was saving the festivities for Thanksgiving. Yep. You know, you had two horrible games that they're gonna have coming on early. The nightcap, the game that was gonna come on after everybody had finished eating. And, you know, this is the one where everybody's gonna feel the most comfortable. This is the game everybody wanted to see. And now they move it to a 1:15 spot on Sunday. Ridiculous. You know?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I don't know.
And I think what made it even worse, and I understand because scheduling. You can't slide another team up in that spot.
Right.
But it's a little bit too late now because everybody got to fly the way they need to fly to a little bit earlier. I get all that, but still, I'm just sick, man, because I was looking forward to that game. That's one of them games that's going to turn the tide in the AFC. Right?
Absolutely. You know, and honestly, I was wanting to see it because, you know, me, I'm on this thing about Lamar Jackson right now, and I want to, and you know, and really, that's really, I'm a little upset that we didn't have our live show this week because I really wanted to get JB to tighten some nuts and bolts about this whole Ravens situation. Because you know what, I've been saying things, and he been, you know, he had rebuttals, and his rebuttals make sense, but then at the same time, the team still be losing, and the same thing still happening, whatever. And again, this was a game that was going to be very important for the Ravens, especially coming off the loss that they were coming off of, and if they was able to pull that upset off, shift the balance of power, because I think they still were, right now, I think they're two games behind Pittsburgh, because they were one game behind, I think they're two games back now.
Who, Ravens?
Yeah.
Nah, they're three games behind, man.
Oh, yeah, see, yeah. So
they are 6-4 right now, if I am mistaken. I'm looking at the standards. So,
they would have needed that game. And, of course, the game would still be played. But, you know, by not being in this primetime spot and being a night game, they kind of changes things a little bit.
Right. Dad, would you believe that the Cleveland Browns are ahead of the Baltimore Ravens?
Well, you know what? I ain't going to be much chess on that
one. Like that.
I ain't going to be much chess on that one, but we'll leave that one. We'll leave that one alone. We'll move on to our next story. So this one's a sad one. And look, this is the second season ending quarterback that injury. Let's listen to the report. Here we go.
Cincinnati. Ian Ryan Finley is now the quarterback because the news is not good. It is exactly as feared for Joe Burrow.
Yeah, and sources have said, according to me and Tom Pelissero, that Joe Burrow did in fact tear his ACL and his MCL, a significant injury for the franchise quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals, and obviously a long road ahead for Burrow. He's going to have reconstructive surgery, as everyone in this situation would be, on his left knee. As of now, the belief is he will make a full recovery, and of course, is going to be Ryan Finley now going forward, a fourth rounder who they traded up for, who they like, who they gave a little taste to of starting last year, but in Cincinnati, all the attention, as it should be, on the fact that their number one pick, their franchise quarterback, who wowed them and even exceeded expectations, now confirmed out for the season for Cincinnati.
Wow. So we got to react to this. Now, you know, I haven't really been, you know, Joe Burrow's number one fan this season. I haven't, admittedly, it is what it is, you know. But here's the thing. And I don't know if you're going to chalk this up to the 2020 COVID-19 season. It's got us all its quirks. No preseason, no OTAs, none of this stuff. And, you know, you got a rookie quarterback coming in here. It's a lot of, like I said, that's the second one. So that was Dak Prescott, and that is Joe Burrow. What's your reaction on this one, man?
Man, I blame it on the Cincinnati Bengals organization, because you had a prime rookie quarterback that was running for rookie of the year with, to me, Justin Herbert from the Chargers. You got to protect that man. That's your franchise quarterback. He was doing great with what he was working with. Now he got set out a year. We don't know how he's going to come back, because I watched it. That was a gruesome injury.
Yeah, it was.
If he came out of there with just an ACL, I was shocked. I would have been shocked. But like they say, he's going to have constructive surgery on his knee. It shouldn't have happened. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not blaming it on the defense, because they doing what they had to do. And, you know, they had one player had by his legs, turned him one way, another player coming up top, turned him another way. It shouldn't have been like that, because you should have had a line, an offensive line, to protect that man. Y'all know how valuable he is.
Right.
And you didn't do it. So I blame the Cincinnati organization on that situation.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I know 2020 has been a rough year, especially when it comes for preparation and trying to, you know, foresee certain things, you know, from happening. But it's been rough, man. And like, this is your number one overall draft pick. Look, the Cincinnati Bengals rolled the dice on this number one draft pick. You know, they fired the coach behind this, right? You know, they got a new coach in there whose future depended on this number one draft pick and this quarterback that he brought in there. And here's the thing. Not only are they going to lose Joe Burrow for the 2020 season, with the timetable, with the surgery, we don't even know if he's going to be ready for the kickoff of 2021.
Exactly.
So
if it was just the ACL, he would have been ready.
Right.
With the other injuries, that just prolonged it for a couple more months.
Yeah, man, it is a terrible, terrible. Like I said, I wasn't his biggest cheerleader of the season, but I don't like seeing stuff like that. The report said the news confirms that the number one overall pick is done for the year. Burrow will undergo a reconstructive surgery and rehab for 2021. Based on Monday's test, the Bengals are anticipating Burrow to need 8 to 9 months of recovery and be ready around the beginning of next season, Pelissero added. Bengals coach Zach Taylor later confirmed that Burrow will undergo season-ending knee surgery. However, he did not currently have a timeline for when a procedure will occur. He says expected to make a full recovery, but he did not speculate that Burrow will be ready for week one of the 2021 season. That's rough for the Bengals, man. And, you know, that's I'm gonna tell you, this is how bad it is, right? Okay, we understand that they were rebuilding, right? You know, moving on from the Andy Dalton era, you know, moving on from that, and Marvin Lewis, right? They just starting fresh or whatever, right? And you know, you got the new coach, you got the number one overall draft pick. You lose him in the first season, you know what I'm saying? Not guaranteed to get him back for the beginning of the next season, in a division where your competition is getting better by the day, right? So you got the, look, you got one of the best teams in the NFL right now in the Pittsburgh Steelers, who right now are running perfect, right? They are running, you know, they looking to really solidify. They going to be probably, they can punch their ticket as early as next week, you know, right? Then you got the Browns, who you just mentioned, they're getting better, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, look, this is, the timing is bad on this, you know, and if they ain't in panic mode, they should be, you know,
right?
They really should.
You know, like I told you before, the AFC North to me is one of the top divisions in football right now, next to the, I think I said the NFC West.
Right. Yeah.
And like you said, you're starting off from the bottom right now. You're trying to get yourself acclimated. You're trying to get your quarterback acclimated to the speed and adhere to his offensive, the offensive side of the ball. It was wide receivers. And I think he was getting there with A.J. Green and the rest of them.
It took him a while to get it together. It took him and A.J. a minute to kind of gel. But
it was getting there.
They were starting to get there, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So now you got to delay this for a whole year.
Yeah.
And slow the act. And just, like you said, I believe that a NFL coach needs 3 years to get his stuff acclimated to the team.
Yeah.
So now, does he have time to sit here and wait for? We don't even know what kind of Joe Burrow we're gonna get back.
Right.
Yeah. This messed up the whole timetable of what they was trying to build. And like you said, in that division, you need to get that stuff situated right now, because that's one of the tough divisions in the league.
And y'all already were the underdogs. I mean, you know, the Browns, Ravens, Steelers, they've been established. You know, the Browns are one of the newly established teams, but they're pretty much established. They still kind of newer, you know, rough around the edges, but they are established. And then I heard Cam Newton make a statement that said that when he had COVID, he had to be out for those 2 weeks. 2 weeks, right? He felt like he was behind. Mm-hmm. You know, in his development and, you know, learning that playbook and stuff. Now we're talking about a dude sitting out the rest of the season and possibly the first 8 weeks of the next season. Talk about
the Cincinnati Bengals. my suggestion. Draft an offensive lineman first thing this year.
Absolutely. They're going to need to. You know what I mean? So I don't know, man. I, you know, hopefully, you know, whatever their timeline was for Zach Taylor, they better extend him another 2 years, because they, you know, that's what I think, that's what he deserved, right?
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
So, we move on, because we, look, I was, my picks last week were so horrible. You know, some wild stuff was happening. Okay, look, I based it on, okay, Drew Brees goes down, he gets hurt, you know, and I know that the Saints got a weird quarterback situation, right? Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston, you know, even, you know, they were going, I was like, who gonna get the start? You know, Sean Payton didn't want to send him to the very last minute. We find out he wants to go with Taysom Hill over Jameis Winston for whatever reason. We'll talk about it here in a second. But, you know, I'm like, okay, well, this is easy pickings for, I mean, I know it's the Falcons. I know who is, you know, and I don't usually pick the Falcons, but this time I did. I was like, okay, well, you know, without Breeze, who are the Saints? You know what I mean? And then, you know, Taysom Hill comes in there, and actually, there was questions surrounding his ability to be a pure quarterback or whatever, right? So, Brian Baldinger could put together some tape, and I really wanted to show this on the live show, but we're on audio now, so, you know, he's got to kind of go along with us. But check this out, guys. This is some stuff that we put together for Taysom's, you know, showing off his quarterback skills.
He's going to be the starting Saints quarterback while Drew Brees is on the mend.
Right back to Hill in the Wildcat, shuffling his way towards the five.
This is his body of work throwing the football, and it's pretty good. Drag slide concept, floats this one. Week 4, 2018 to Kamara, can't quite get a handle on it. This throw here, down the middle of the field to Michael Thomas. I mean, it's beautiful. After he sets the protection, changes the play, gets everything set up, he's the maestro of the orchestra, steps up and makes this throw. I mean, it's a little underthrown. Sometimes it's good to have it underthrown. Now, you take a look at this play here, and you go, all right, here it is. There's the throw. I mean, steps up in the pocket, right there, got pressure right in his face, makes that throw right on the line. Great job by Michael Thomas coming back. And how about this little Tim Tebow imitation here in this blowout win against Cincinnati? Come up into the line of scrimmage, and then the jump pass. Another one. Ben Watson couldn't quite get the handle on it. Kind of fumbled it away. Opportunity there. How about this throw here? The only interception here now. Now, he's going down the field to Ted Ginn Jr., and he just doesn't play this safety just right. And Davis takes it away in the end zone, his only interception. But he
So listen, that right there is a little bit of a little bit of tape on Taysom Hill, a little bit of tape on him. Now, for me personally, you know, we've seen Sean Payton for the last couple of seasons use Taysom Hill in some weird, you know, wildcat, direct snap, design runs, you know, but you know, this tape that Brian Bonner put together was showing him throwing the ball. Now I got two-fold question for you. Number one, how much confidence do you have in Taysom Hill throwing the ball like that, right? And do you, I mean, if it's you and you got to choose between Winston and Hill to, you know, to see your season through to the, you know, for the foreseeable future, at least until we get to the playoffs, I think, before we get Breeze back, you know, what do you do? Is it Hill or is it who you believe in more, Hill or Winston? There you go. Go for it.
All right. Good question. Both of them good questions. The first one, I seen his arm, and that tells me everything I need to know for Taysom Hill. Mm-hmm. He cannot throw the deep ball. If he tries it, as you can see in that video, I know this is audio, in that video, every wide receiver had to either fall down and try to catch it or come back and try to catch it. So his accuracy is shot. To me, Taysom Hill is a wildcat quarterback. Just like they said with
Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow?
Yeah.
He might be a little bit better, don't get me wrong. Right. He's a little bit better, but he's that type of quarterback. He's a wildcat quarterback. Now, to answer your second question, this is how I see Sean Payton doing what he's doing. I think he said this after the game.
Mm-hmm.
If you got to bring him in there in the third quarter, you bring in Jameis Winston.
Okay.
He's ready to go. He's an NFL quarterback. Now, if you got a week to prepare, then you bring in Taysom Hill.
Okay.
So in the long run, you telling me that Jameis Winston is more true NFL quarterback than Taysom Hill. In the long run,
yeah.
This is my opinion. I'm opposite of Sean Payton. In the long run, I'm gonna stick with Jameis Winston. And if he start messing up, I'm bringing in Taysom Hill.
Okay.
Because what are they now? They're 8-2.
Yeah.
They basically got the division locked up. They're gonna make it to the playoffs, from what I understand. But when it comes to the playoffs, you got to be sure that you're going in the playoffs with the quarterback that you want. I would go in with Jameis Winston. I give Jameis Winston some time to play.
Yeah.
But evidently, he's going in with Taysom Hill. And I think he liked Taysom Hill because he got rid of Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah. And he kept Taysom. Yeah, he did.
So it is what it is. But if it was up to me to ask your second question, I'm going with Jameis Winston.
Okay. Well, you know, I think, man, it's so hard for me because I've watched Jameis Winston for so many years because, you know, he's been a quarterback in my division for a long time. And it's like so hard for me. All I can think of is 30 interceptions. And I'm just thinking the Saints can't afford that. They can't afford, but can you afford some wildcat scrambler quarterback who, you know, I don't know. They're in a tough spot right now. I can see Jameis being a better choice off the bat, but then you get into the meat of it and the interceptions start piling up and then they make you want to pull your hair out, man. I don't know about it. I have a hard time dealing because all I can think of is 30 interceptions. That's all I can think of. When I see Jameis Winston's name, that's the first thing I think of is 30 interceptions. I mean, like, I know it was 30 touchdowns too.
But right.
30 interceptions is what I see, man. I'm just saying, right? And as funny as it may sound, I think you give him 4 or 5 weeks. How many weeks we got? What, six? Like 4 or 5 weeks left in the season? 5, 6 weeks? He can probably push that number up to like 18 before Breeze come back. And I don't know, man. It's hard for me to trust that. I think what we saw last week, you know, and this is pretty much an audition for Taysom Hill anyway, because he has to prove that he can do quarterback stuff in order for him to either we know Breeze ain't gonna be around forever. In fact, you know, if everything go the way the Saints wanted to go this season, I think that this might be the last time we see Breeze. If everything go the way they wanted to go, if they can get that Lombardi back to New Orleans, Breeze is out of here. You know what I mean? But we still got to think about that Breeze spot, and Winston see it, and Taysom Hill said, and they say they just see Breeze's spot, and they both want it. And I think if they keep on, if Sean Payton keep on starting Taysom Hill, and they keep on playing the way he played last week, true, the numbers wasn't what they should have been. It was pretty low as far as his yardage and things like that. He went throwing a whole lot of passes. Kind of remind me of Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton back in the early seasons or whatever. You know, did a whole lot of running. But, you know, eventually they'll trust him more throwing the ball. That's where I'm putting my money at. You know, and as a matter of fact, it says the Saints have featured Drew Brees as their starter since 2006. They gave Hill a 2-year, $21 million contract this offseason with the thought that he's the future, but no one knows for sure. And they won't until the lights come on. So Peyton, who identified Hill's talents immediately off film from his time with the Green Bay Packers, wants to know if Hill is his starter for 10 years or not. The process begins today. And that's kind of what I think it's Hill, man. I don't know about Winston. Like I said, 30 interceptions is what I see.
I get all that, but do you really want to make, when I'm looking at a franchise quarterback, I'm not looking at a wildcat quarterback. I don't care that you could do trick plays and all that. When it comes down to it, I want to know that you will be able to number one, have a quarterback mentality to think of what you see in front of you.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. Jameis Winston can't do that. So you lost on both of them to me on that situation. Mm-hmm. And do you have the arm to put the ball where it's supposed to be at? Because to me, Michael Thomas made his fame or made his money off of Drew Brees' arm.
Yeah.
So you can put it where it's supposed to be at.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to give me Taysom Hill, and then my numbers ain't going to look the same.
Oh, no.
As it did before.
Oh, definitely.
So whatever you got, whoever you got behind center is going to affect a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't know if I could put all my eggs in one basket for Taysom Hill.
Well, I throw this caveat at you before we move on. Just something you can sit with. Throw a little nugget out there. You know, the last couple quarterbacks who say what they said were one trick ponies, and they, you know, them type of quarterbacks wouldn't make it far in the NFL. One of them, and then Mr. Cam Newton, made it all the way to the Super Bowl. The other one, Lamar Jackson, AFC Championship. I'm just saying, the future might be this type of quarterbacks. That's all I'm saying. Now, you granted, these quarterbacks haven't won the Super Bowl yet, but we're getting there. You know what I'm saying? So,
just throw that out. And answer that question. And Sean Payton is a great coach and all that. But you just answer your own question. You're going to take it so far.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how I see with the New Orleans Saints.
Right. Well, you know, I wish him the best of luck. He in the control. He in a situation just like, you know, Zach Taylor. Well, it ain't the same, but it's, you know, they got to figure it out, man. They got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Our last one for the day, man, is the Steelers, man. We're talking about Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers, and the story came out where they asked Ben Roethlisberger, you know, how he felt about going undefeated, you know, and he was like, nah, man, we ain't chasing those 16-0, we chasing Lombardis, you know what I'm saying? Like, they want to bring a 7th Lombardi to the city of Pittsburgh, and it says here the Pittsburgh Steelers moved to 10-0 on Sunday's 27-3 win over the hapless Jacksonville Jaguars. It's the first time in franchise history the club opened the season with 10 wins. And it's the only team to reach 10-0 in the last 5 years. Pittsburgh became the 18th team in Super Bowl era to start 10-0. 10 of those clubs made a Super Bowl, and 6 won it all. Okay, now, I don't want to remind nobody who was the last team to go 10-0, because y'all know who it was. They didn't win the Super Bowl. It was the Carolina Panthers, right? But it's okay. Neither here nor there.
Okay.
The thing is, you know, every time a team kind of get these type of numbers, because I remember this as a Panther fan a few years back, you get to 10-0, 11-0, 12. It's the question. The fans always, and I guess media, want to make it like it's about the undefeated. Nobody cares about that. Nobody. And I don't know if somebody does. I guess somebody like a Tom Brady would, right? Because he done accomplished everything else, right?
Right.
He would care, right? But you think Ben care about that?
No. Ben I believe that Mike Tomlin, the head coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers, got the culture up in there to think that forget the undefeated record. You want rings, want trophies.
Yes.
You want to be put in history, in NFL history, as being a Super Bowl champ.
Right.
So I think it would be nice, but what would you rather have? The record that you might not get.
Right.
You still got like 5-6 games left.
Yeah.
Or get yourself situated to go into the playoffs and run over everybody to get to the Super Bowl. Because you, let's not forget, you still got the Buffalo Bills, the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs in your conference.
Yeah. You still got to play the Browns again.
My mindset is deal with the people that's in front of you. Don't look at the hill that's behind them.
Right. Yeah. I believe, you know, when it comes to perfect seasons and stuff like that, there's a reason why it's only been one, and the reason why it hasn't been replicated since is because I don't think it's something that you aspire for. It's something that happens along the way. You know, if you're not going to be that good and, you know, you win every game and then, you know, you still kind of planning for it the same way you would if you lost two or three on the way up the hill. And, you know, you win a championship. And if it just so happened that you didn't lose a game on the way there, then I think that's a beautiful thing. But that's the reason why it's only happened once, you know, in my opinion, anyway.
Didn't the Patriots do it?
Well, the Patriots did it, but they lost the Super Bowl. So
exactly. That's my whole point right there. Because when you talk about the New England Patriots, you talk about the six Super Bowl trophies.
Yeah.
Not the undefeated season.
Absolutely.
Right. That's the whole point.
And that's why I believe that Tom Brady is the only one who would even be interested in something like this, because they didn't get it done. And they could have got it done. You know, Eli Manning and the Giants kind of spoiled that for them. But I think that's the only thing left on Tom Brady's board, that they don't have a check mark on it, because, you know, he know that he had the capability to do it because they've done it before. They just didn't get it all. They didn't get the job done. You know what I mean? You didn't win the one that counted. The one game that would have sealed the deal, they couldn't get that one done. You know what I mean? So, and they should have lost. If they had lost a game in week two or week seven, who knows? Maybe that Super Bowl would have turned out a little bit differently.
You know? All right, let me ask you this before we move on. Do you believe in losing the game before you get to the playoffs?
Not on purpose. I think if it happens, it happens. But I think, you know, if it's me, if I'm the head coach or if I'm the captain on that team or something like that, I'm just thinking about preparation for the next game.
And
so the wins are piling up. I'm not thinking about that though. You know, that mean we prepped good last week. That mean we practiced good last week. That mean we executed good last week. Let's try to do it again this week. You know, and that's the way I look at it, you know, so.
I agree. Yeah. Game by game. Don't look at the final record.
Right.
Game by game. Right. So you're building into getting ready to go into the playoffs.
Yeah,
so I think that's what Mike Tomlin is going
to
do.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think he is definitely smart enough not to get caught up in this media nonsense. You know, and I'm telling you, I remember it. It seemed like every week it was, I saw a meme floating around the internet this week about the Steelers, and they were saying how they had the cakewalk and they had, you know, played teams that were below 500 and the Dallas Cowboys. You know, I saw all of that, right? And, you know, it reminded me of that 2015 season with Carolina and Denver, right? And people said the same thing about both of those teams, right? Even though I think, you know, Carolina went like 12 or 13 games straight without losing until they went to Atlanta and they got dealt that thing. And I think Denver actually went 8 games straight that season, right? Before they lost the first one. Is that right? So, you know, but I remember that chatter. I remember how that went down. And, you know, and they kept on asking Peyton Manning and Cam and all them, you know, like, dude, then they would ask some silly dude on the team, somebody like a Josh Norman or Emmanuel, somebody, some silly dude. And they'd be like, yeah, dude, you know, going undefeated is what we're going to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, and the other dude sitting in the background, like, dude, shut up. Like, quit talking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, it was crazy, man. But, you know, I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting to see how this can play out. They've had an interesting start. We're going to see how they finish. And, you know, like I said, they could punch their ticket to the playoffs as early as this season. This week, because I think this week we have officially eliminated the New York Jets. I think they have been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. So one team down, and then one team could punch in. So we had 0-10 team, and then a 10-0 team. So you got that going on. So that brings us, you know, before we get into our picks, though, we gotta pay homage. We gotta do that, right? We'll be back with the picks. I'm excited to see, because I got somebody to bounce off of this week. So how it go? But we'll be back after these words from some good folks. Here we go.
What up, peeps? This your boy Glass, aka The Sage of Sports, and I have my own podcast, The Sage of Sports Podcast, where we talk everything and anything about the current topics in the sports world. I have the hot takes, talk about the latest news, players, trades, and transactions, scores, and my weekly NFL picks. So while you run on them errands, doing them chores, check the stuff off your honey-do list, go ahead, pop in your earbuds, click on the Sage Sports Podcast, take a listen, and be entertained.
Sunday's Best is brought to you in part by Sweetwater Music and Pro Audio. Since 1979, Sweetwater has been home for all music lovers, DJs, broadcasts, podcasters, and live streamers. The collection includes an impressive selection of guitars, microphones, DJ equipment, keyboards, drums and percussion, pro mixers, channel strips, accessories, and more from popular brands. You can save on names like Yamaha, Behringer, Rode M-Audio, Shure, Sennheiser, and Slate Digital. On top of all the amazing products offered at Sweetwater, you can go online and read the news and research from artists and experts in the industry. Sweetwater prides themselves on providing top-notch customer service. So if you ever have a question, you can count on our music experts at Sweetwater to resolve your issue. When you shop, just remember to use one of our Sweetwater coupons that I've included in the show notes. Remember, Sweetwater is Pro Audio. What up, Glass? Here we go, man. You hear the Pete Rock going on, so you know what that means. You know what that means. That means that we got to get these picks. And I gotta say this. My picks last week were pretty bad, and that was because the algorithm was correct. It was just some weird stuff happening. I couldn't have predicted. You know, I had just got Tom Brady back in my good graces. He threw a couple of interceptions and going on. You know what I mean? They served the Saints up on a silver platter with Drew Brees being injured. The Falcons couldn't get it done. You know what I mean? Through the magic of overtime and Derrick Henry, my Titans pick did come through for me, right? So, you know, PJ Walker saved my Panthers, got them off a losing streak. So that's great. So let's do this week, and hopefully my algorithm pick this week. I don't know what it's going to be, but we're going to find out because I haven't looked at the schedule yet. And so let's get a glass and see what you got.
All right, man. You don't have to make no excuses. I think everybody sucked last week.
Yeah, right.
The top teams went down left and right. So it ain't only you, Buzz. It's everybody.
Gotcha.
But let's go ahead and get it on. Week 12, Thursday games. There's no Thursday night game. Yeah. Thanks, Ravens. But anyway.
Right.
first, to jump it off, we got the Houston Texans at 3-7 going to Ford Field. Played the 4-6 Detroit Lions.
But that's okay, because family's going to be just not coming in. If people are doing that, which y'all need to be safe about that. If you got family coming over and all that. But, you know, this is going to be the time people are going to just be getting together. Ain't nobody watching this game. These teams suck. And, you know, but you know what? The Detroit Lions at home, they are used to playing on Thanksgiving. You know, I don't know if that really mean anything. Yeah. You know, look, the Texans have been struggling a little bit. I don't think nothing they can do right now to really save their season and nothing like that. But I picked the home team last week and they let me down. I picked Detroit last week because they played at home last week and they lost. Okay, you know what? I'm not picking them this week. I'm going with the Texans. I'm going to the road team this week.
Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah. I hear you. Gotcha. At this time, I'll probably be helping my wife cook.
Right.
So I have no TV, not saying I'm going to be paying attention. They ain't
right.
Paying attention.
Yes.
With that being said, I hear what you're saying. Houston Texans, they out the race because you got 2-7-3 teams in your division with the Colts and the Titans.
Yep.
But they gaining traction. They know what they're doing. Deshaun Watson is doing the damn thing. On the Detroit side, hey, man, I know y'all 4-6. Y'all 4-6. Y'all might not win another game for the rest of the season. That's how I feel. And I think Matt Patricia should lose his job.
Wow.
Just saying okay. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Houston Texans over the Detroit Lions.
Okay. All right. I feel you.
All right. Next, we got the battle of the 3-7. The NFC East Division.
Is this game for the number one spot in the division? Please tell me no.
Terrible. I hate to say it. I want to say, it could be. It's a three-way tie. It's a damn near four-way tie.
Oh,
you got 3-7 teams, and you got the Eagles with 3-6-1. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
We have the Washington professional football team at 3-7 going up to AT&T Stadium and play the 3-7 Dallas Cowboys. That what you have for Thanksgiving.
Listen, all I know is Jerry Jones made a statement say he want more folk in AT&T Stadium for the rest of these home games. I don't know who's worse, him or the soon-to-be ex-president with this COVID stuff. They, like, as the numbers get completely out of control, they do more and more things to I don't get it. I don't know what's wrong with Jerry Jones. I have no idea. Maybe he got a super sealed off, disinfectant, skybox that knows. But why you want to bring more people? They have more people in their stadium right now than anybody else. I don't get it. Anyway, that's beside the point. Andy Dalton, you know, he came back last week. They had a pretty decent outing. Like I said, I'm watching them still going through things or whatever. It is a shame that, whoever get that number seven seed, I think it is, that third wild card is going to have to go through and play the champion of the NFC East. And it's going to be one of these ridiculous teams who going to have a sub 500 record. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. Dallas won last week. They're at home again this week. You know, they kind of feeling themselves. Like, you know, Ezekiel Elliott had a pretty good day. Dalton play. You know what? They looked okay. You know, I think Dallas look a little bit better than Washington right now. You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I was gonna go the opposite way. I can't find nothing to go the opposite way. I agree with you on this one.
Right.
I was trying to say maybe because the coach that I like, what's your old head coach name?
Yeah, Ron Rivera.
Ron Rivera. Yeah. More so than I'm having a brain fart right now. Then the
Mike
Cowboys coach,
yes,
McCarthy. Thank you. But I think with CD Lamb, Andy Dalton, and Ezekiel Elliott look like they're on a nice little roll.
Yeah.
They're at home, and Jerry Jones is gonna find a way to have that team win this week. I'm gonna go with the Dallas Cowboys over the Washington Professional Football Team. But I like your analogy between Jerry Jones and number 45. Right. It's all about business. It ain't about your lives.
That's
it's
right.
about the business.
That's right. You know, we can fit 100,000 people in the stadium. We're going to get about 70 in here.
Okay, you got to get that money, dog.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Next. Oh, so that's done. We're done with the Thursday game.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Sunday game. I'm going to go ahead and start with the team that's supposed to be playing on Thursday.
Yeah.
Nice little battle with the AFC North teams.
Yeah.
Battle for supremacy in the division. We got the 6-4 Baltimore Ravens going to Heinz Field to play the undefeated 10-0 Pittsburgh Steelers. Who you got, bro?
You know, it's a good thing that this game is still going to be a nationally televised game, even though it's going to be on Sunday. You know, it's a good thing they did that because people would really been pissed off, right? So they kept it a nationally televised game on NBC, which is good. But I think, again, you know, I said it before in week two or three, whenever the game got shut down between the Steelers and the Titans, the COVID, once again, is dealing the Pittsburgh Steelers another favor. Cause
that's a secret weapon.
The Ravens were all primed to knock the Steelers off, but you know, COVID didn't mess them up. And they're dealing with the COVID in-house. So, it ain't a good look. You know, I think, you know, I thought this would have been the stopping point for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I think with this whole COVID thing and Baltimore coming off that game last week and that shadow that's hanging over Lamar Jackson, they're going to roll into Pittsburgh. Again, the light's going to be bright. Lamar Jackson ain't going to know. He ain't going to shrink like he normally does. I like Pittsburgh to kind of run away with this one and remain undefeated at least through week 12. We'll see what happens next week.
Okay. All right. I'm going to have to agree with you, man. I was looking forward to this game until the news came out that all these players was five players and four staffers got COVID. Yeah, you might recover, but you're still gonna be lagging to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And like I said last week, the Tennessee Titans punked the Baltimore Ravens, and we'll talk about that at the end. I gotta ask you a question on that.
Uh-huh.
But all that being said, man, the blueprint is out there about the Ravens. I think the Steelers know what they're going to do. Steelers going to sit there and just, I'm going to say a one position win, a one position lead. I got the Pittsburgh Steelers over the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay. Nice. I don't think it's going to be the one possession. I think Lamar going to give them at least 7 to 12 points. I guarantee it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so we'll see.
All right, man. Next up, we got the shockingly good Las Vegas Raiders, the 6-4 going up to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, play the 3-7 Atlanta Falcons. Who you got?
Yep, I got the Raiders in this game because the Falcons looked at the one time that I actually started to believe. Look, when they had everything laid out for them, they couldn't get the job done. And this is why they suck. And that's the reason why I never have no mercy for the Atlanta Falcons, because when I do, they prove to me that they're the worst team in the NFL. So yeah, the Raiders going into Atlanta and gonna kick them around. So, you know.
Okay, cool. I can't stand the Raiders as being the diehard Denver Bronco fan, but I gotta give credit where credit's due. They look good. They almost swept the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes, they did.
This season, the defending Super Bowl champion. So that says a lot. The Falcons, I'm agree with you. The times I do pick them, they don't want to show up.
Right.
So with that being said, I'm gonna definitely go with the Raiders over the Falcons.
There we go.
Next up, we got the 3-7 Los Angeles Chargers going up to Bills Stadium to play the 7-3 Buffalo Bills. This is going to be a good game. Who you got, bro?
Oh, man, I like it. The Chargers are kind of trying to, you know, they always in the game, but, man, I don't know. I don't know if we got enough really to be finishing a whole lot of these games. And Buffalo's on a mission. You know, I like what they got going on right now. You know, and I still got them as my favorites to win the AFC East. So they still my favorites to win. And I just don't think, you know, especially the Chargers coming across the country in the thick COVID air, I don't think it's going to work out too good for them. You know, I like the Bills in this game.
All right. I agree with you, Justin Herbert. I love what he got going. Even though it's a 3-7 record, it's they're a better team than 3-7. Mm-hmm. And I hope Anthony what's the head coach name?
Anthony Lynn.
Thank you. Anthony Lynn doesn't lose the job over this. I think that he should have one more year.
Yeah, I think he could. I think they see what Lynn is doing, you know, and because you know they got the quarterback and they got the running back, but they got to figure that out. So, you know, I think he good.
And they lose close games.
Yeah,
ain't like they're getting blown out and everything.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I agree with you. The Bills got something they could take hold of the division. I think the Miami Dolphins won game behind them, so they got to win this game to just keep a lead above them. So I'm going with you. I'm going with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills over the Los Angeles Chargers.
All right.
Next up, we got the 3-7 New York Giants going up to Paul Brown Stadium to play the 2-7-1 Cincinnati Bengals without Joe Burrow.
Without Joe Burrow, and they got that dude Kenley. I think his name is Kenley. I don't know.
I think it's Ryan Finley.
Finley, yeah. I was like Kenley.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, man. Like, you know, the Bengals ain't very good anyway, you know, and then, that dude was a quarterback was really one of the bright spots on their team and their running back. They got some good running backs. The Giants been, you know, Daniel Jones been kind of showing stuff a little bit, you know, showing a little bit of moxie. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The thing is the Giants defense, they kind of show up in spurts. Like they don't scare nobody, but they do show up in spurts every once in a while and they make a little bit of noise. But, and I think this might be a big game for them. I think that New York Giants defense go into Cincinnati and take advantage of this backup quarterback. Yeah. I like the Giants in this one. You know, I'm going with New York.
All right. Cool. I'm going to have to do same pick. If they had Joe Burrow, I would gave the Bengals a chance. But like you said, the Giants, they be showing sparks of being a good team, you know.
Yeah.
I think they give them about one or two more years, get rid of Edelman, and they'll be all right.
Oh, yeah.
So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and pick the New York Giants over the Bengals also. This is the game. This might be the game of the week.
Mm-hmm.
It's the battle of the AFC South. Both teams are 7-3. We got the Tennessee Titans going up to Lucas Oil Stadium to play the Indianapolis Colts.
And ladies and gentlemen, we have arrived at the trust the algorithm pick of the week. So here we go, right?
I'm scared to hear this one.
listen, the Titans got into the scrap with, who they got into the scrap with last week? Who they got in the scrap with last week?
The Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, the Ravens, and they had to go into overtime to get the job done. But you saw what happened in overtime. You saw they burst out their trump card, and they one weapon that they use all the time that nobody seemed to be able to find an answer to. And Derrick Henry, man, it's like, you know, as long as they got him, they got a chance to win. Now, this Indy defense is quiet as kept flying under the radar, but they are making a lot of noise at the same time. And they might have the answer for Derrick Henry. You know, and as a matter of fact, here we go. The trust the algorithm pick of the week. Going with the home team. Old Man Rivers and the Indianapolis defense slow down that train of Derrick Henry, and they win this one by a field goal. I like the home team.
Okay, before I make this pick, I might as well ask you this question now.
Yeah.
Now, you just mentioned the Bush League move that the Tennessee Titans did last week to Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
Question is, do you like it, or do you think it's not? Mike Vrabel need to tone that down.
Well, it depends on what play we're talking about.
The Bush League, just the team dynamic.
Oh, no. I think, you know, to me, when I look at the Titans, I think they're grimy. And I think, you know, I think it's always good to have something that nobody's seen before. And to have something in your back pocket that you can pull out when your back is against the wall. And Vrabel does it time and time again. He pull out right. something that people, it surprises folk. And they'd be like, oh,
right.
you know, but you know what? When you got athletic quarterback like Ryan Tannehill, you know, you got, you know, beast of a running back like, and I don't know, who was this wide receiver that got number 11?
Oh, Easton, AJ Brown.
Yes. Look, you got him. It's over. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Right.
Right.
So I love it that you just strong arm folk and you're muscling folk around and, You saying stop me. That's what you're saying. You know what I mean? I love it.
I totally agree. Yeah, yeah. Hey, I'm all about Mike Vrabel, the coach he's bringing in with the Tennessee Titans. If you think about it, the Tennessee Titans is a small market team.
Yeah.
So what Mike Vrabel trying to do is punk everybody.
Oh yeah.
Change the culture.
Oh, yeah.
And have them one of them dynamic teams that's up and coming.
Oh yeah.
That being said, I like the way they went to the middle of the field. Did what they had to do. Malcolm Butler with John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
My thing is this, if you coming out here, John Harbaugh, you better back it up. I ain't gonna back down.
Yeah.
And then when Mike Vrabel went to go shake his hand, he went to shake his hand. Mike Vrabel like, it's all good. We got this. We came in here and got this W anyway.
That's so
I'm
right.
All for the Tennessee Titans doing what they do. Now, if you're going to do it, you go all the way with it.
Yeah.
You're going to be the pirate.
Right.
The pirate of that division.
Yes.
Okay, I digress. We digress. We going back to the picks.
Yeah.
You said Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
Listen, I like what I see with Tennessee Titans and their running back Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you said, Indianapolis Colts, people in that lap really paying attention to them.
They're not.
That defense is top two, if not top, is number one defense.
Yes, absolutely.
They know how to stop the run.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to slow it down. I like Frank Reich. Game planning for this team. I think he's going to sit here and nullify everything that Mike Vrabel going to do.
Yep.
It's at home. I'm with you. I'm going with the Indianapolis Colts over the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
They're going to take lead of the AFC South.
Yeah, so, you know, Vrabel going to have one of them plays in his back pocket. We're going to Andy. He's going to have something. Because he's going to need it.
He's thinking of something right now.
Yeah, he's definitely going to need it.
All right, man. Next up, we got the 7-3 Cleveland Browns going up to TIAA Banks Field to play the 1-9 Jacksonville Jaguars.
So I want you to
I'm going to go first on this one. I ain't waste no time.
Yeah.
What are we talking about here? Long as the Cleveland Browns run the ball,
mm-hmm.
and that leave it in Baker Mayfield's hands, this is going to be an easy win for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, look, their running game is pretty strong, and that defense is too. And listen, I know Baker might be one of the weaker parts of that offense, man, but he's still a threat. He's still a threat no matter. And I want you to peep their record. You know, I want you to peep their record, and I want you to see where they at in comparison to their big brothers, Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Listen,
mm-hmm.
if anything, you know this new playoff format. They might be that team that ended up with that 7 or 8, and they end up having to, you know, play that whoever with a weaker 5 or 4 is or whatever. So, look, Cleveland, I'm telling you, they are playoff bound, right? It's going to be hard for them I think Baltimore is going to be, and then of course we're going to revisit the playoff pitch in a week or two on Team Boy TV Live. But I think Baltimore is slowly flipping their way on out of the playoff top of spots.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So look, they let them keep on playing the way they're playing, and Cleveland gonna find themselves in one of them spots. So, you know, Just saying, just keep your eye on them. Now, I'm saying when they get to the playoffs, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, you know, all hell can break loose once they get there, but, you know. Right. But you know, I do got a feeling that they will make it for the first time in, what, 18 seasons or something like that? So it'll be interesting to see, you know. Yeah, anyway, I like Cleveland in this game, too.
And we're talking about 1994. That's more than 18 seasons, bro.
Is it more than 18 seasons?
Yeah, like 18 man. Seasons. Oh, okay. Yeah, I think so. But anyway, next up. So you got the Browns, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Your 4-7 Carolina Panthers going up to U.S. Bank Stadium play the 4-6 Minnesota Vikings.
It's a tough one, man. It's a tough one, man. You know, because, you know, we don't know if I like the energy that P.J. Walker brought to the team last week versus that old predictable stuff that Teddy Two Gloves was doing. And I don't even know if Teddy is ready to come back or not. Christian McCaffrey showed up in a red shirt today or yesterday or whatever. You know how I feel. I think they should deactivate Christian McCaffrey for the rest of the season, I believe. That is my personal opinion. But you know, but you don't want to take away weapons that could possibly help you win. And it ain't quite over for Carolina yet. You know, like it ain't ready to throw in the towel just yet. But again, we talked about Minnesota last time we spoke, and you know, we were saying how Minnesota was getting better. They started slow, but they're getting better now. You know, it's going to be a tough one for Carolina. This is going to be, if they can go to Minnesota and get a win with a third string quarterback, I give them all the props in the world. They my boys. I can't pick them this week. I gotta go with the Vikings this time.
Wow. Yeah. You're actually using the algorithm. Okay, cool. I have to agree with you, man. Panthers, they still, like I said, I was shocked that you said McCaffrey needed to be on the show, but yeah. I agree with you on that one. Go ahead, heal up for next season and be ready for next year. I totally agree with that because I'm going to say this season lost for y'all, man. Between the Saints and the Buccaneers, I don't think you were catching
it. It ain't quite over yet.
It's over, bro. but on the Vikings, it's basically over for them in large part because, nah, it's not really over. Packers, they can make the wild card. I think they're going to surpass the Chicago Bears. They only one game behind.
That would be a
damn
shame.
This game. They had a rough loss last week because actually that was a straight catch clinic right there between CeeDee Lamb. And the Vikings.
Adam Thielen.
So they're gonna win this. I think I'm gonna pick the Minnesota Vikings over your Carolina Panthers on this one. Next up, we got the 6-4 Arizona Cardinals going up to Gillette Stadium play the 4-6 New England Patriots.
I don't know why I feel like I've seen this game before, but maybe I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I feel like I've seen this one before. I don't know, but it was in Arizona. But I don't know. But you know, it's weird. But you got. I was listening to an old clip from Team Boy TV last year. It was a season before. I don't know. Remember what Kyler's rookie season? And it's a clip of us on Team Boy TV live on Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram at Team Boy TV. And it's me and JB talking about Kyler Murray. And I was saying how you know I didn't really believe in Kyler Murray. And JB was like, "Well, you ain't seen much of Kyler and all this kind of stuff." And, when I was listening to that old tape and I was like, wow, it's crazy how much things done changed since then. You know what I mean? And Kyler Murray is showing his moxie, man. The dude got, he got the leadership qualities that I didn't think he had. He got them same type of leadership qualities that Patrick Mahomes got. And I didn't believe that Patrick could lead a bunch of men because he was a little boy coming into the locker room. But the same thing is happening out in Arizona. But sadly, they got to go up against somebody as crafty like Cam Newton. And I think I actually trust Arizona's defense and special teams more than I trust New England's. And New England don't have as much firepower as there. You know what? It's just Arizona traveling bothers me a little bit. But I'm going to go with the road team because I just think they're a better team.
Okay. Yeah. You had me worried for a second. I'm about to say, are you about to pick the Patriots?
No.
But I hear what you're saying. You can't shortchange Bill Belichick and what he might do, but I don't think he got the arsenal like he used to on this one. The wide receivers suck. The defense suck. Nothing against Cam Newton, but he don't have a connection with the wide receivers to me.
No, I don't think so.
And I agree with you with Kyle Murray. I was shady with Kyle Murray because, you know, he was small in stature.
Oh, yeah.
He's a quiet person, but he's a quiet leader. Like you said, he's leading that team. I understand they won the game last week, and I think he has a shoulder injury, but he gonna be all right. Like you said, the Arizona defense is legit. He got DeAndre Hopkins. That's all you need.
That's all you need.
I'm definitely with you. I got the Arizona Cardinals over the New England Patriots.
All right.
Next up, we got the 6-4 Miami Dolphins going to MetLife Stadium to play the walking bye week team, New York Jets. That's winless, 0-10.
Man, it's crazy. Like, you know, even I was thinking to myself, well, it's a division again. You never know. Hell no.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, Tua got benched last week for quote unquote performance issues or whatever. And you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago when they first activated Tua Tagovailoa. You're right. Whenever they activated him, we said, oh, they activated him too early, but then they won three straight games. And then, you know, then he had this rough little game. They brought Fitzpatrick back in. Fitzpatrick is still saying, oh, I understand this is to his team. And he's still, being like that. And they're going to give Tua another chance. So, you know, the team is thoroughly behind him. And if you don't bounce back from a bad outing, what better to do against his JV squad?
Just the game.
Yeah, you know, right? So, yeah, I like the Dolphins in this one. Yeah.
I agree with you. Let's not waste no time on here. I don't know what the Jets doing. They actually gonna try to get that number one pick. I think that's what they're shooting for.
Yeah.
Like you said, with Tua over there messing up last week and putting in Ryan Fitzpatrick. Brian Flores know what they're doing over there. He got the team. I mean, damn, team is 6-4. What else is there to say?
Right.
With that being said, man, I think they're gonna bring Tua back up in there. The defense, the Miami Dolphins defense, legit. I think they were first in points, or what's it called, making points off the defense.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need a lot for this team. I'm gonna go ahead and pick the Miami Dolphins over the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, the 8-2 New Orleans Saints going up to Empower Field at Mile High to play my beloved Denver Broncos. It's 4-6. Who you got?
You want to make it simple. I got the Saints because I don't trust that quarterback of yours. That dude right there. Look, I'm telling you, like, I was like sitting there watching, not last week's game, I think it was the week before, wasn't it?
Week before, yeah.
And I'm saying,
last week.
Yeah, I was like, man, how my man sitting here watching this? How is he watching this dude? Like, I just wanted to strangle this cat. But you know what? He's a young dude, man. And he like, he want to grow into that. Into that gunslinger category. That's where he want to go. You know what I mean? Right. But, you know, Taysom Hill, this is where it gets interesting, though. Because we talking about Taysom Hill getting the start again. And they're on the road this time. Like, they're coming away from the dome. And you got that Denver defense scheme that you still got to worry about. You know, but you can't win. You ain't going to be able to beat the Saints when the field goes, though. So, there you go. I don't think this one's going to be the Saints are going to run away with it or nothing like that. But I think that, you know, Denver, the field goals ain't going to work. I'm going to pick the Saints in this one.
All right.
Yeah.
I know this might sound biased.
Yeah.
And normally I would have picked the Saints over the Broncos, but listen here, you basically made my case.
Okay.
Number one, Taysom Hill, I just told you, I want you to hear Wildcat quarterback.
Yeah.
They on the road. They playing the Denver Broncos. That defense is legit.
Mm-hmm.
Vic Fangio was a defensive coordinator here in Chicago. He gonna make that defense do what it do. And we ain't gonna put the game in Drew Lock's hand. We're gonna put it in the run game like we did last week against Miami Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
And like last week when we beat the Miami Dolphins, this week we're gonna have the upset beat the New Orleans Saints.
Wow.
So I got the Denver Broncos.
Your SOS pick of the week?
Yeah. That's okay. My upset of the week, yo.
Okay. All right.
All right, man.
Don't put no money on that.
No. I ain't say all that. That's my pick of the week. Next up, we got the San Francisco 49ers. That's 4-6 going up to SoFi Stadium. Play division rivals.
Hmm.
Los Angeles Rams at 7-3.
Yeah. Rams don't continue to, cause I'm trying to think, who is it them? No, I think Seahawks still, or are they tied? They might be tied, right?
Yeah, they tied.
Yeah,
7-3.
Yeah, but see, San Francisco ain't gonna shake nothing up, man. They on the road too? Nah, I don't think so. You know, the Rams, they got their thing. They doing their thing, and they, as long as their defense can stay tight. And I know your boys was talking all that junk. Rams was talking a lot of junk last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But you know, him and, you know, they got the right combination when they got Donald and them boys up front causing havoc and making, you know, quarterbacks throw errant passes and making, and Ramsey and them boys in the back look great. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's a nice look. It's a nice little deal they got, and I like it. It keeps the young Goff safe, so he can kind of make a little bit of mistakes here and there. The defense always bail him out. San Francisco still search. Hey, they got to find. They need an identity right now. I don't even know who they are right now. I'll be honest with you, I don't know. It's C.J. Beathard and this. I don't know who the other guy. I forgot the other guy's name. I don't know. Yeah, it's just too much. I can't even keep up with the quarterbacks in the rotation. It's too much going on in San Francisco. I can't, you know. I don't even know who they're bringing to the table this week. I don't even know. It don't even really matter. You know, I got the Rams in this one.
All right, cool. You know what? If this was a healthy 49ers, I would say this would probably be the game of the week.
Yeah.
Fight for the division title. But like you said, the 49ers show themselves. They're not even in the run. The Rams need this game to keep up with the Seattle Seahawks. I got the Los Angeles Rams over the 49ers.
Nice.
Next up, we got the 9-1 Kansas City Chiefs going up to Raymond James Stadium to play the 7-4 Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Ain't it nice to see the Bucs lose twice in a row? You know, this is what I like. You know what I mean? I like this. I like this a lot. You know, and I'm going to tell you one of the reasons why I really like it, though. I really like it because the Kansas City defense, it ain't great. It ain't amazing like it was about a year or two ago. But and that's what I said last week about Tom Brady, man. You get in his face and you rattle him around a little bit. Mm-hmm. You do some strange things and they gonna confuse the hell out of him again this week. And you know, I mean, one week he didn't know it was fourth down, and then the next week he threw all them interceptions and he was, you know, he didn't couldn't believe it, you know. So, and then last week he had two interceptions, I think. And then, you know, he gave himself his, I guess it'll be his first consecutive loss in a long time. It's been a while since he lost two in a row. But I like KC going into Tampa Bay and getting it done. Because, you know, the Tampa Bay L was my algorithm pick last week.
Oh, really?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I ain't going to lie. I picked the Buccaneers on that one. But, like you said, until you fraggle Patrick Mahomes, I'm a roll with him. Now, like you said last week, Tom Brady, I don't know who the hell he was throwing to with them two interceptions.
Right.
So that had me having my eye rolling, looking at him like, man, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, yeah.
That being said, man, I know there is two in a row. It's going to have to be two in a row at home.
Yeah. That's
right. Put them in their place,
you
man.
Know, Bruce Arians, so he's going to lose his whole mind. Bruce Arians going to flip. Yeah. You might see him actually literally flip out of the podium. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but, man. He going to walk off again, not shaking any hands again.
Right. You know.
I got the Chiefs over the Buccaneers.
Wow.
Yeah, next game, we got the 5-5 Chicago Bears going up to Lambeau Field to play the 7-3 Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I know some people might think this might be a game. But, you know, and again, I saw where Green Bay slipped down from the number two spot to like the number five. I think they actually in the four or five now. But that's okay. That's okay. You know, I stand firm. They will make their way back and they will seal a number one spot. They will get it. Cause I don't think they like three games back behind, cause right now it was the Seahawks and Rams are the leaders, right? In the NFC right now, right?
No. In the NFC? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You might be right.
I think it's the Seahawks
Packers,
and Rams.
No. In the NFC, no, it's the Saints, 8-2.
Yeah.
Rams, Seahawks, and Packers are 7-3.
Yeah.
And they might be four down.
Yeah, see, there you go. One game back, man. That's all it takes.
No, they five down. Buccaneers, 7-4.
Oh.
Yeah. So they need this game.
Yeah, they do. But it's okay. But again, like I said, Green Bay will be back. They'll be back. They at home against the Chicago Bears. And, you know, in this Thanksgiving week is, you know, we're already seeing the snow come down in Lambeau already. Look, Chicago can come in there and they're going to put up a good game. But I just got a feeling, you know, Green Bay. Listen, I like the way this is shaping up. You got a bunch of old dudes, man. You got Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. All these old cats vying for one last.
Don't forget about Phillip Rivers, bro.
Oh, Phillip Rivers, yes, he in there too. Vying for one last ride. This is going to be great to see how this thing turns out at the end, man. It's going to be beautiful. I think this is going to be one of the best things of 2020. The NFL finale going to be great because one of them old guys going to walk away with another trophy, or you know, for the first may win one for the first time in Phillip Rivers. Who knows? You know what I mean? Okay. Right? So, but I like Green Bay at home against the Bears in this one.
All right, man. I would put up a fight. Like I said, it's a divisional game. Them two always have iconic games, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this is all I'm going to say. Chicago Bears defense going to keep them in the game. Chicago Bears offense going to lose it for them.
Wow. They got Trubisky getting a start?
I don't know who going to start.
I think it was Trubisky.
I really don't.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So, that being said, I got the Packers over the Bears.
Okay.
Last game, Monday Night Football.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 7-3 Seattle Seahawks going up to Lincoln Financial to play the 3-6-1 Carson Wentz led Philadelphia Eagles.
Hey, I guess if it wasn't so much money involved, the Philadelphia Eagles could just concede the game and save some jet fuel for the Seahawks. They had to make that trip.
Man.
But, you know, it's too much money. We can't do that. Because this seems like a waste of an airplane trip. You know what I mean? It really does. But, you know, whatever. I mean, Philadelphia could pull up some upset. I don't know how, but, you know, I doubt it. Yeah, I think Seattle rolls on, man. Philadelphia, man, come on. No. No.
They're going to try to give it a good try because they're playing at home. But Seattle, Russell Wilson, one of the rare quarterbacks I know that could travel well on the road.
Yeah.
The defense, they need to step their game up, but the offense is going to do what it do. I'm definitely going to pick the Seattle Seahawks over the Philadelphia Eagles, bro.
Okay, I like it. I like it. I like it a lot. Well, Glassman, I want to thank you for coming through this week and helping me out with the podcast. I know JB was like, I said, new dad. He's doing new dad stuff. So I ain't going to really mess with him too much about it. I'm going to give him a pass, but he can't keep doing this. We get toward the end of the season. They got to bring it. Hey, look, the fans demand it. You know what I'm saying? So unless you're here on Sunday's Best, so you might as well go ahead and put yourself over for my listeners. Go ahead and do that, man.
All right, man. I love this collaboration between the Sunday Best and the Sage of Sports podcast. Appreciate you inviting me in, joining in, doing the damn thing.
Yeah.
All right, people. Thanks for listening to the podcast. You can listen to the Sage of Sports podcast through Anchor FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Pocket Cast. Follow me on the following social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Anchor FM, the Sage of Sports. On Twitter, @SageOfSports1. Send your comments, suggestions, and contact me via email at thesageofsports@gmail.com. Thanks for having me home, bro.
Yeah, man, no problem. Looking forward for my appearance. I think I've had an appearance on Sage of Sports podcast at least once, I think, already. You know what I mean?
Yes, you did.
Right.
Yep.
That's good. Yeah. Definitely appreciate it. And everybody been supporting the podcast so far, man. We definitely appreciate that. Again, we will be giving you guys a live show again whenever JB gets his mind right. I know it's been 2 weeks that we haven't given you guys a show. We will give it to you. But you guys, until then, you guys can follow me on social media, on Twitter @TeamBoyTV, Instagram @TeamBoyTV. Check us out on Urban Arena on Facebook and TeamBoyTV Turbo on Facebook. That kind of thing, man. All support for the podcast has been great, man. Also, you look, Vernie B's podcast is new and climbing the charts. It's doing pretty good. Check out the State of the Union with Vernie B. It's been good stuff, man. Check it out. You know what I mean? It's good. You know what I mean? And again, happy holidays to everybody, man. We're going to kick off this, you know, crazy season that's getting ready to come up with the holiday season. Everybody stay safe and the family coming through. Glad to know you got some people coming over. Keep everybody socially distanced and everybody stay safe. Until next week, we out of here, y'all. Take it easy. Peace.
Peace.